So tonight, Patrick's going to take over at a certain point. But until Patrick is taking over, I have a few introductory remarks to make. Now, what you guys, be nice to Patrick. Don't treat him the way you treat me. A few years ago, we said that in the Gospel of Luke, in the Bible, that is, that's Luke 14:16, by the way, it is reported that Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Well, because Bible scholars agree, apparently so anyway, reasonably so, that Jesus probably said this, or something very much like this. What do you think this means? Don't all rush in with answers.
Well, I think what it means, is that unless you're willing to give up the starter body and starter life that you were born to, then you will never know in the Bible thing, it was the kingdom of God, or you wouldn't be able to move on to who you really are.
So, he probably didn't mean hate your father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's correct. That's the loners that you started with, and that you have to move on from that.
But then we can say that the word hate comes into that. Everybody has then struggled with that sentence, leaving it the way it is, without considering that the word hate in Greek meant grief or mourning or sorrow, not intense hostility. Assuming this has been transmitted from Aramaic to Greek to English, or to Latin to English to you today, you can see where. So, in that regard, can you sorrow or grieve for your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters, etc.?
Grieve for the loss of?
No, grieve for them. If it really means grief, can you grieve for your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters, and the rest of your family? It doesn't, if we're saying then, that instead of being hostile to them, can you grieve for them, and in what way might that be possible?
It's grieving, perhaps, for the enlightenment or knowledge or life that they will never have.
Well, is it then maybe not grief that they too are living the loner self and life that they were given?
Yes.
Isn't that valid? Wouldn't you grieve for your brothers and your family that they were living a loner self in life and not living the life of themselves?
Yes.
Well, Matthew dealt with this same sentence and changed this to say that Jesus was actually declaring that if you lived your family and loved your family and self greater than you loved Jesus, then you couldn't be a disciple. What might that mean?
What's the word? A disciple?
Yeah. Jesus was big on people being disciples of Jesus. My only concern is that you understand forever living.
It would appear in that context is then that if the individual that Jesus is talking to is so attached to his loner self, then there is no way he can be a disciple of Jesus.
So in bonding, then you're saying to your parents or your family or self, whether you like it or not, you are bonding to a loner self?
I think that's what it means, yes.
A different translation of these words is, if anyone comes to me and doesn't disregard his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be a disciple. What do you think that means? Can you disregard yourself?
Oh, most definitely.
Be careful when you said that. Can you disregard yourself? Because you've just done it backwards when you said, oh yes, definitely.
How so? I don't understand that.
Because what you have done is you've disregarded yourself and regarded your loner self. And I'm asking you, could you disregarding your family, then is it possible that you are disregarding your loner self, not yourself?
Oh, no. I wasn't listening to the words close enough.
So then, if you don't disregard your father, mother, life, children, brothers, and etc., if you regard them and maintain them, let's say, close at hand, which at that time, the whole social structure of the times was family and social related in that regard. If you don't disregard that. Pay attention, Andrew. If you don't disregard that, then you are attached to your loner self, like it or not.
And how are you using the word disregard? Paying no attention to, or put no importance on, or
that's what? Right. The more importance that you place on your mother, your father, your brothers and sisters, you are maintaining your loner self, are you not?
I would say I am, yeah.
So then we would say that this can now be more correctly understand that you have to begin by disregarding your mother as your mother, because your mother is the mother of your body, not you, and your father is the father of your body, not you. You have to disregard them in order to live the self and life that is truly you.
Yeah, we got that. That's interesting.
Another translation of these words is, if people come to me and are not ready to abandon their fathers, mothers, wives, children, brothers and sisters, as well as their own lives, they cannot be my disciples. Are you willing to abandon your loner self and all relationships to your loner self?
My God, that's a big question, isn't it?
I know. Why? Thinking like, what do I have to? I find I'm tied a little bit to that, yeah.
I didn't understand what you... I'm not too sure what you said, Andrew.
Well, I was just saying, do I have to abandon? Wow, that's like a big question, like Pat said. I find myself attached to that.
Well, then look at it this way. How could you abandon your mother and sister and brothers and father without abandoning them?
By identifying with myself, not my loner self.
So what? What has that got to do with them?
What's that got to do with them?
Yeah.
I guess not much.
Then it doesn't do you any good.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just asking you. Let me interject something here for a moment. There is an old belief that there is a mystical, magical, marvelous word in all of the universe, which that mystical word is I. And in that, then, it is even reported that Solomon, in getting his workers to build his temple, said, if you build this temple, then I will tell you the mystical, magical word. And they got all through. Their payment was that the magical word was I. Is it possible that that's not true?
Oh,
Remember now, what we're doing is going back to ancient history here and then coming forth that I is a magical word that God said even when he talked to, I think it was speaking to Jacob, etc., he said, and when he asked him to go to Pharaoh, it was Moses. When he asked him to go to Pharaoh and say, relieve my people. And he said, well, who should I say will send me? He'd say, I am that I am. Is that valid, or is there a greater word than I? Is it possible? And what might that greater word be?
Maybe a greater word is self.
Maybe a greater word is you.
You?
You! For instance, let me listen to this. If I say I all the time, I'm talking about who I am. I'm declaring myself. I'm glorifying myself as God of the Bible did. Bible said, when Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? I am that I am sent you. Suppose that I speak to you, Andrew, in terms of you, and I tell you who you are. Isn't that greater than, number one, who I am? And also, when I hear myself saying, you are, have I not heard myself be proclaimed as who I am?
Yep, that makes so much sense.
So I is a defective word, in fact, only relative to God as being supreme. You is a greater word to use in terms of that every time you use it, you hear yourself being proclaimed as who you are.
Yeah, I see.
What if, instead of saying, let's just say this way. Is it possible that you could understand not to say things that you would not want others to say to you?
Right.
Okay.
You see? All of a sudden, then, as I proclaim you, am I not in that proclaiming who? Myself? And haven't I benefited in that you and me at the same time?
Right.
When all I've done in the magical, mystical word of I have declared myself and made myself superior to you in some way or another.
But also, Roger, does it not, by saying you, it, I'll say, I don't know if it includes or whatever, an I, so there's actually a more of a two-ness rather than the mythical oneness.
Of course.
Okay.
But I know who I am. Is it not then greater for me to proclaim who you are?
Right.
Am I not in that proclaiming?
And you proclaim who?
What?
Yeah. And the other way around, you proclaim who I am. Yeah.
So then, in proclaiming who you are, I have heard myself being proclaimed as to who I am. Another translation. What?
Can we play with this for a moment?
Sure.
If you ask me, lots of times you suggested that the event that occurs in my life isn't primary, it's how I feel about the event. You ask me how I feel about an event, and if I say, well, you feel this way and you feel that way and that's how you feel, are you suggesting that's the way to use the term?
No. But if I am saying to you that if I can proclaim that you, Patrick, are greater and finer than you ever believed yourself to be, isn't that the way for me to speak?
Well, most definitely, okay. So there are ways in which if I ask another how they feel about something, I'm asking how they feel, not how they think I feel.
And also, are we not saying to you, if I ask you how you feel about a situation, can you not now begin to see that you feel falsely?
Are you back?
I'm back.
Yeah, well, we about 7 seconds.
Right.
I said, if I ask you how you feel about a situation, is it not in fact that I am in that, or you are in that feeling falsely?
Yeah, I suspect so, because I'm probably feeling my lower body emotions.
So you see? So I can know about your loner body and emotions, and you are living your loner body and emotions, but what I am doing in proclaiming you is proclaiming that you are other than your loner body and emotions.
Okay, I got this question then. So my loner body emotions is quite different than past loner body emotions, so what does that difference tell us?
Nothing. Doesn't matter. We're talking to you.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But when you think, like Abraham, that your emotions are everything and true, right, and real, they are everything and true, right, and real only to a false self. Now, how good did that help you?
Do you mean Abraham of the Bible or that channeled entity?
The channeled entity.
Okay.
who places everything on your emotions. And I've had that argument over and over and over and over again. Violent arguments about that. Don't you know that when you are feeling in that regard, you are feeling only your loner body and self? Well, so my question then is that relative to what we've said about a loner self and loner body, can you offer any real understanding of these words of Jesus? I don't think he understood a goddamn thing about what he was talking about.
Except that if you're all tied up with your wife and kids, you're sure as hell not going to follow me around.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to accept that you, and when I say that, I mean the you, let's call it spiritual you, are not your body? Is that okay, Patrick?
Yes.
Is it okay for you to understand that spirit cannot create physical?
Yes.
Then all things are created by and after their own kind? Is that okay? Is that okay? Huh?
Don't know that I understand that.
Well, apple trees can't decide, well, I want to be a pear tree next time. Apple trees create apple trees and only apple trees. Physical creates physical and only physical. If you are, if you, the you that we're speaking of here, are not your body, but that you enter your body and you have a body and you wear a body, there is no spiritual essence of you that created the body. Only physical could create that body.
So, then why the occupation or the communion?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, if I'm not a physical entity in fact, then it seems to only confuse the issue to do a physical anything. Why don't I just take after my own kind?
I still don't understand what you're talking about. If I think I understand what you're talking about, is it really willing to say that spiritual cannot interrelate? Spiritual can't do anything? It's like a dream. Would you always be willing to like to live like as a dream and never be able to really participate?
You mean like in my own cosmic bubble and that's it, just me?
That's it.
In my own thoughts. Okay.
That's it.
I got you.
You can do your own thing, but you can't ever get out of your own thing.
Yeah. Oh, I see now. Okay.
But since spirit...
Okay, so be able to then relate and interact and do other than just myself... communion with a physical body. I can't create a physical body, but I can sure warm up next to one or fit inside of one for a while.
And the body that then is created by physical mother and father, and that body is of like ilk of mother and father and has nothing to do with you.
That makes sense. I know you... Okay.
And we've always kind of gotten around to say, oh, well, you know, you choose your parents. That is so crappy. Like as if, okay, I've choose these guys down here, and then I choose the little squirmy that's going to be the particular one that's going to fertilize the particular egg. Oh, and it's getting too... too out of hand, especially since everything is random in the first place. So, It is random as they created it, and you take on a physical body, and then you say, well, okay. You can change this body to suit you, and you can change the self that came with it to suit you. But if you want to be physical, if you want to take part in interrelating with people in that way, then either accept the body that was made for you and live that, or you have the finest choice ever, is you can rebuild that body however you want, and you can rebuild that self however you want.
Okay. Got a question.
Got an answer.
Were you particular with your language and said the body was made for you? Or was there a body made and you randomly showed up in it?
I like your exception there. That's correct. A body was made. I had that big argument with my mother about this. And she went into torrents of crying. I said, I wanted you, Roger. I made you, just you. You're just what I wanted. I said, no, you made a body. And that's all.
That's true. Did you really have that conversation?
I didn't hear what anybody said.
You actually had that conversation with your mother?
Oh, yeah, sure. Did you think my mother and I didn't talk about these things? She was a preacher's daughter. You're damn right we talked about these things. But she always ended up tearing and crying and moaning and pissing and running off.
Because last Monday you did say that you were transfigured to life. And that suggests, as I pointed, I checked with you a moment ago, then that there was none of this, I'm going to survey the parents that are available and the genes that are available, and I'm going to pick the appropriate one.
No, that only portrays that there was not a beginning.
Yeah, and not a beginning, but it also further suggests that the movement into life was actually totally and completely random.
Well, not necessarily. I can be transfigured particularly into life, not necessarily random in that regard. So that transfigured word there doesn't take into account yet at that point about the form and nature of whether that was intentional or not.
But are we still operating from the point of view that the body that I end up with is a total random event?
But you can enter the body intentionally so. So the body is a random event. But when we say I transfigured, I took on that body, that particularly for whatever reason or otherwise in that regard, then it is an issue of my then particularizing that body to suit me.
Okay.
So if you want to...
All that New Age talk about picking parents, them, and everything else is a what?
It is because what they're doing is they're maintaining there is only you, and they have trouble in language then to describe what is going on. As soon as I show you realistically, and obviously so, your body is not you, and that it is a random event of your parents, and it belongs to your parents, not to you, then it all begins to make sense.
Yes, it does.
So, if we say, oh, well, life is about discovering yourself, or living your true nature, or realize the essence and spirit of yourself, do you understand that in this you are seeking knowledge about a loner self and life that has nothing whatsoever to do with you? Is that okay, Mr. Patrick?
Yeah, and so that these folks that give counseling on how to become your true self are actually talking about making their loner body greater.
Then,
their loner self and loner body greater.
Then, if that's the case, is it possible that you could understand that if, well, let's say like Mozart or Pavarotti or whatever, if you lived your loner self and life and its talents to the max, or maybe like Pope John, you became Pope, and your life still sucks because it wasn't you, that living your loner body to the max doesn't solve anything, because it still isn't you.
I recall, Roger, that you're telling us that we may not be held any great favor by doing what we seem very good at doing.
You see? Mozart at 5 years old was good at that, but that was his loner body that had that ability. But Mozart's life sucked, if you saw Amadeus. Assuming that there was any truth in the movie Amadeus, he was crazier than a loon. Because it was his loner body and his loner talents that he was so good at, but wasn't him. Pavarotti wanted to be a soccer star. God knows what Pope John wanted to be. So he lived his loner body to the max. And then you come back and say, well, what the hell was this all about? Well, I'm trying to, in this introduction here, tell you, you know, we've got a lot of problems to consider here, because Patrick, but Pat, don't worry, because Patrick's going to solve them, because I'm going to quit in a few minutes. And he's going to take all the twists and turns out of the knot that I'm creating. Could all of this really mean that if you are not willing to remake your loner body and self to accurately portray you and serve you, you will not understand much of what we've been saying for years? Okay, Patrick. You have the next hour to sort this out for us.
Well, I was just going to mention that you've already used up half my notes.
Oh, okay. Well, repeat them.
Well, I think that what this poses for us after this Gordian knot that Roger has wound and wove together here, is it possible to be both universal and particular? And I think at the core of what we've been talking about for this last actually 40 minutes or so is it possible at all to be both universal and particular?
Well, Andrew, you want to jump in there? Sally?
Uh,
I just was going to say, Pat, could you maybe take a half step back from where you are and talk a little bit about the universal? We were basically spending time talking about the boner self, and so I missed a step into universal.
Okay, good point. Then that presumes here that if there is a loner self and that there is a you that is going to make that self and that body your own, is it possible then that the you that we're speaking of is the universal you, the universal self?
Okay.
Karen is asking a question here, and I think I'll ask, she asks, which is, and I'll ask her, what do you think it is? Oh, saved by the dog bark. Dog is barking to let me know.
Why did you get saved?
Well, Karen just walked away to let the dog.
You saved yourself.
She saved
her boner self.
No, it's a valid question.
Right.
So the question, if I get it correctly, Patrick, what you're saying is, primarily, each of us is a universal self. So the question you're asking is, can we be particular without losing our universal self?
Yes. Each one of us is a universal self, and somehow or other, we need to find a way to become particular without losing that universality.
Okay, so can I fill in a gap here for you, Pat? If I'm following this and saying, so this self that is not my loner self is universal. It in a sense, has existed like in a dream in its own cosmic bubble. And I want to step out, I want to interact and relate with other nesses. So it particularizes as by communing or somehow coming into a loner body. But in that process, over whatever time, I've come to identify with that more particularized loner body and am in conflict between the sense of myself as a universal and this experience of myself as a loner particular. And in the particular, I tend to lose my universal. Is that where we're at?
I think so. In identifying with the loner self, essentially, that we've lost contact with the universal.
Wait a minute. I got to interject here. I got to interject here. Is that where you started this? What you asked was, as an eternal being, could you be particular without losing your eternalness? Now you're saying that it is so. And so are you telling me that it is so, that a universal cannot be particular?
I guess I don't know how you could be or even talk about universal without a particular something.
So you're saying that in order to even discuss yourself as a universal being, you have to speak particulars about that.
Yeah, I would say we talk about it. Otherwise, we're back in the realm of spiritual, physical, something woo-woo, and then this is something real. So that's my question.
But he's asking it from a universal perspective. Can the universal be particular without losing its universality? He is not asking. Yeah. He's not asking whether you can be particular and be at the same time aware of being universal. Is there a difference? That's what he's asking.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of your particular self. Get into a universal self, as I understand what he's asking you. And from a universal perspective, can you be particular without losing your universality?
Oh,
and
okay.
After that,
you would say yes.
What?
I would say you could.
How? Well, I don't mean to take this over, Patrick. This is for you to deal with.
Took the words right out of my mouth. And how? Then how can that be, Sally?
I don't know if it's a I don't think it's like an on or off switch.
See, your problem here, the problem here, Sally, is that
yes.
Your language doesn't enable you to think of being both simultaneously particular and universal. But I'm asking
right.
you, can you get out of it? Can, and if it doesn't, if you're living your language, then you've got to struggle. But Patrick's asking
right.
you, then get out of your particular self from a moment and look at it from a different perspective as a universal being. And from that perspective, can you be particular without losing your universal self?
Oh, yeah, and you know, I think that happens in dreams.
No, wait. Don't divert. He's asked the question. Answer the question.
Yeah, you can.
How? And now you have to take over, Patrick.
Yeah. And I want to go and tell everybody what I think instead of trying to encourage.
But what you don't want them to do.
How that might.
Yeah, that's what you want to do, because that's the problem in this regard, is if you don't know how, or if you have not considered that that can be really, really, really be done, then you will not live your eternal self as a particular, but you will live only as a particular, put one against the other. And in that, then, you will live your loner self.
Hey, Raj, got a question for you.
No, you got it.
Directed
to Patrick.
Okay, Patrick, following on what Roger just said, sorry, it's not your word, it's Roger's word. Does this mean that that a universal that is particular would be an eternal being? Meaning a universal being is not particular, but if it, what, creates itself as an eternal being, then that's a particularized universal?
I think that's a languaged approach to try to knit it together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think, no, that really doesn't describe how you can be both universal and particular.
Okay.
Well, then what you're saying, if I understand this, Patrick, is that universal, for the moment, has nothing to do with eternal.
It's a Oh, absolutely. I didn't want to discourage and but that was no absolute. That's somewhere that's another discussion.
So when it's diverted to universal being eternal, you've gone astray.
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, you're on, Patrick.
So is it possible, guys, that part of the struggle we experience is that our loner body and the loner self is a particular, it is not you?
Okay, I can go along with that.
Hey, wait a minute. I got a question here, Patrick. What if, as you say, or assume you infer, that a universal can be particular, then how can you say that my loner body is not me if it's a particular?
Oh, most definitely.
What do you mean? How? How come? Why can't it be me?
I didn't hear that last bit. Why can't it be?
Yeah, why can't it be me? Why can't it be my particular?
Because it belongs to the body, that belongs to the parents, that belongs to the family. To realize, of course, that the family, the body, and your parents also created for you a loner environment within which your body exists in. It is so divorced from you that it is all theirs, and you come alive in it, and it's not you.
But then I could come alive in it and make it me.
We haven't got that far along yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't mean to jump ahead. Sorry.
No, that's not you. And I just like to reinforce a little bit for you guys. Recall that simple little thing about the universe is to you as you are to the universe. Well, then the loner environment created by your parents and family and the social structure you lived in is the you, in parenthesis here or in quote marks, that you will see the universe and it will feed back to you in the same way. So that your parents, your family, create this environment within which you feed to the universe and it feeds back to you in that way. That ain't you. That's your family. That's the loner family. That's the loner environment. That's the loner view of the universe. That ain't you. Now, Roger stressed like hell, really strongly last week, that unless and until you're prepared to make that body and all of that yours, you're stuck with that. Now, how do you make that yours?
You asking that because you don't know, or are you asking that because you do know and you want to see if we know?
Well, I want to see if anybody else is prepared to discuss how that might be possible.
I know.
Hey, Roger, what is your take on this?
No, I'm listening into your take. And if you don't have a take, then I'm in for listening to Patrick's take.
My guys, we've gone over this 100,000 times. And that's actually what's sometimes so frustrating for me is that it's Roger comes at it from a slightly different point of view, and it doesn't seem like it fits, but it sure does. Right.
But that's why I thought that you could put it all together for us. Okay, go for
it. Well, let's presume something here. That the way the body functions, the loner body and the loner self comes with the body, is, let's say, presume that the body is a four. And it's the four before, and it's a four, and that's what it is. And that's as hardly or like firmly particular as you can possibly imagine. It's a four, and there you are. But you know you're not a four.
Right. You could be a 1 plus 3 or 2.5 plus one or a million minus or whatever, if you want to use a mathematical thing.
Or may even be a 7.
Yeah, you can declare it as a 7 too.
Or you can you can particularize loner self any way you want to.
How?
Is that in fact make the body or...
I want to know how, Sally. This is the point to all of this stuff. I keep giving you...
I know,
saying all of this stuff because I'm not giving you conclusions about, well, you can particularize it. The question is, how can you particularize it?
So, by declaring yourself?
How?
Say who you are.
Okay, I'm a 5. Now, what did that do to me? I'm a nice guy, and you all know that that didn't work. It's like I went to a conference one time and everybody, and the guy that put on a conference says, I'm going to go around the room and I want you guys to say one word that you think most describes you. And we got to me, I said, sweet. The damn room broke up, but I don't care. So, I don't think anybody agreed with my declaration.
Oh boy, I want to hear this talked about in D language or whatever. Okay, so talk more about that, Roger.
No.
Give it away, right?
Are we saying here declaring who I am? It's like what I started off with saying here in the beginning. Maybe declaring who I am doesn't mean squat. I am that I am. I'm the greatest ever. So effing what?
So guys, is it possible it has something to do with actioning? If we declare, I wish I was, and it was like Roger could wish he was sweet till the cows come home, but that's wishful thinking, is it not, in a scientific way?
Right.
Roger's actioning, your actioning, my actioning, his declarations in action. You can... Did the universe remember? The universe... Only
do you act only, right.
You know, react, action, yeah.
So you begin to see, you begin to see then that the universe's only reaction is to your great benefit.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
so that, you know, guys, you know, we can go back. I was thinking about this yesterday, that way back when Rogers had set an objective and then be the objective, and then every action that I take is that objective actioning.
Right.
And I didn't understand that, and today I seem to understand that. And that declaration that I am he who does this and that and so forth, and I'll show the world about how the universe works. It's fine and dandy to say the words, but unless I am actioning
right
with that, then it's just blowing smoke up, you know what?
Right.
Okay. If you are actioning, Patrick, what is the universe's reaction?
The reaction will confirm my action.
Well, I'm just saying, what is it?
What is it?
Yeah.
It will faithfully reflect back to me what I am actioning.
Can we say then that the reaction is really a transfiguration of the action? It shows you the action in a different form. That's all it is. It is not a reaction as a negative or opposition. It really only transfigures your action in the same nature, but in a different form, so that you can see your action directly.
Yes. You know, that's really important, because that the old sense of the action and reaction is that it's equal and opposite, and that's not what we're talking about at all.
It is a transfiguration of the action itself.
Correct.
So you can then say it is not a cause and effect situation in that regard. Then what you're telling me, it is a direct image of what I actioned.
Yeah, that makes sense now, too, for what you said last week about when you dig a hole, the dirt around the hole is the transfiguration that shows the reaction of the universe.
Or it shows my action.
Yeah.
It gives me then a different picture of what I am doing.
Right.
So if you're doing something and you didn't get what you wanted, or you didn't get the right reaction or response, you actually did. You got the response of what you did, maybe not the response you declared you wanted. Is that okay, Patrick? I mean, is this...
Yeah, that's...
Well, I don't want to interfere. I'm just...
I know that it's just beyond you to ever do anything like that. But in this, in... our declaration through our actioning, is it possible there that we are able to be particular without ever having lost our universality? Going back to the body focused on a 4 in my illustration, when in fact you may be a 7. You know and understand that a 7 can be a 4 plus 3, and 9 minus 2, 20 minus 13. You are in fact infinite, and that you can express anything you want in a 7-ish way without ever having lost your universality. Does that make sense?
I think you're losing your audience back, because Misty and I have had this same discussion, that in switching only to the numbers and thinking that the numbers will make sense to most people, they won't. So, talk to me in everyday language about this. Don't necessarily discuss it in numbers, except or until you have discussed it first in everyday language. I know it's difficult, but you got to assume then that you're talking to an audience that has never heard any of this stuff before. And the point of it is, if you can't discuss it otherwise, and by the way, you jump shifted your focus incorrectly, so, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, I'm going to use you as an illustration then. If I go astray, push me back, okay?
He will.
Yeah.
He's sweet.
Roger's declaration is that he figures out the universe, how the universe works, and shows that to others. Now, he's described that in many ways, but that's his overall declaration. Now, that declaration is in no way confined. All Roger's way of figuring that out is wide, wide open, and his way of showing that to others is—he's already shown us umpteen dozen ways of social or social media, other media, video, speech, written. Roger's just. He continues to expand the ways in which he expresses that declaration. So in a sense, that's a way of showing that a 7 can be more than 3 plus 4. It can be 13 minus 6. Roger is illustrated to us that the infinite ways in which it is possible to go ahead and action the declaration. Is that what we're talking about, Roger?
Well, what I don't understand is Sally made the comment something like, well, I think I can only understand universal in the particular. Go talk to Sally.
Oh, boy. You're
getting too complicated. You are asking everybody to fully understand me and what I'm doing and whatever. Sally made the thing. And if Sally doesn't make it in a group, ask the group, is it possible for you in any way to then understand universal in any way other than in particular, and if so, please describe how you do that. And if Sally says, I can only understand universal in particular, ask her to describe why that is.
Yes, Sally, go ahead.
I guess the closest I could come, just in even the way we've been talking about universe reacting, acting, anything I do, everything I do, universe reacts, acts to that, so I can, see the action of universe being, in action, if you will, by that reaction action. So I don't know how else I would see or know. Universal me without action, how the universe reacts to that.
Okay, keep that in mind. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to switch gears from Sally and be Universal Sally and say to yourself and talk from Universal Sally and talk about how you can be particular without losing your universality. Why not? Because universality means everything, not any particular thing. So, if you are then a universal being and you want to be particular, are you willing to surrender your being universal to being particular? And hasn't that occurred in being a loner being? Get in the other side of this question from the universal perspective. Here you are, Universal Sally. You're everything. There's nothing that you are not. Now, how are you going to be particular without giving up being everything? Is it possible, just think for a moment, is it possible that this is a true description of you and I don't know is the frigging problem? Is it possible then that you are afraid, scared to death in being particular that you'll lose or give up your identity as a universal being, and that you're walking on coals and thin ice because you're scared to death of that?
And does that mean that we're dead then? I'll just calmly go along with this default body and self.
And hope for the frigging best.
And I don't have to make any commitment to it. I just let it float along.
And then that may be then that for a period that will occur, but maybe God will restore you to your eternal being. And then you're not really, really, really living yourself as a particular eternal being, are you? You're sacrificing one for the other, or saying, I don't know how to be a boat, but right now I'm stuck with this body, so I guess I better be this.
Somebody walking around with their phone. There's a little bit of something here that if the universal me is so afraid of losing that universality that means that the connection with the body self must be so thin and tenuous. that it's close to not existing?
No, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't necessarily agree with that. The connection to your body is like an iron weld.
But if I'm so afraid of losing my universality, why would I hook up that tightly?
It doesn't matter why you've done that. Let's assume that you have done that. Now what the fuck are you going to do about it? Haven't you welded yourself to your physical? This is the way I am right now. Boy, I sure hope God continues me and makes me universal again.
Well, that makes more than a modicum of sense, yeah.
Isn't that maybe then that your struggles in life are that every particular thing you do isn't good enough? Isn't universal enough? Language gives you a choice. Be one or the other. You can't be both. What if you can be both? I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry, I'm like right on top of the phone. It must be that person who's got their phone open. From what you just said, it sounds like maybe it's not enough to be universal. For me, like, that's not satisfying for me.
Isn't that the maybe the reason for physical life? That universal is in and of itself ineffective or insufficient?
Yeah, I'm getting that because, you know, up to, you know, now, recently even, we've always used language to make that the superlative greater state. Oh, being universal and everything then would be perfect. But
Wait, pause. But I said to Sally, get out of being your particular self and be eternal self. Now what have you got to say? Well, eternal self, that's nothing, so I'm everything, but I want to be particular something.
Wait, word this for me again. You said get out of being particular self and be eternal? I thought you were saying universal.
I meant universal.
Okay.
Because you keep talking in terms of universal being superior relative to your particular self as Andrew. I'm saying get out of that for a moment and look at it from the other side of the picture. The other side of the picture is I'm universal, but I'm not particularly anything.
There you go. That's the slam dunk.
But you know what? I've always felt I'm not a particular anything because I was never satisfied and I've had a bazillion different careers and things, so...
Yeah, but she's so damn particular around the house about how things happen.
And a lot of that then is because then you grabbed at the first particular, which wasn't you, and you've been living that ever since.
Well, I sure as hell have a lot of particulars in all different ways.
That's right, but that, you see, that's what you're, then you cannot see that from a universal perspective, you're trying on all of these particulars. Well, what particular do I want to be?
But I could be any one, any of those. I can choose anything.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I've got to ask you a question. Can you choose any particular and be that?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that what I've been saying all along?
Well, that's what I'm... I guess that's where... Maybe I'm not getting the language here, but that's what I've kind of...
You don't have to go out and find a good, right, better, best particular. You can be any particular and be that.
But I think I've done both. I think I've done that, but I still look at, oh... there's got to be more than just this.
No, no. What you've done is you've tried to create a better particular loner self.
Right.
Now, if we, from what the introduction is, if I can get you out of struggling with and being your loner self, then isn't it possible that as a universal being, hell, you can choose any damn particular you want and be that.
Yeah, and it won't be a matter of fulfilling or purpose or anything like that. You would just do it as a matter of course, and the particular thing wouldn't matter, that whatever I'm doing.
All right, let me ask you then this question. If you were just whatever particular you wanted to be, would it matter where you are?
Probably not.
So it wouldn't matter what the environment or conditions of your life are. The only thing that matters is that you are the particular that you choose to be.
Yeah.
Oh, that means, like Patrick was going to say, then, that if you choose to be a five, you are a five and can be a five regardless of what the conditions, and you can be everything in your life in a fivey sort of way.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So then we can say then your particular is not who you are, it is the way in which you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay. Can we also then say that if you got a loner body and a loner self, gee whiz, your parents gave you a loner world to live in?
Right.
Is it possible then for us to say that you don't create your own reality? Don't screw around with trying to change reality around you as a particular that you have chosen. Could you not live in your own environment regardless of the world around you?
Yep.
So, then, but you're not doing that. What you're doing is you're living out the world and environment of your parents. So, if you're going to choose who you are in that to choose the environment in which you will live in such a way then that no matter what occurs in your life, you are not discontent in your own environment.
Thanks.
Oh, okay. Well, we got that all figured out. Patrick, what's next?
Well, I was going to suggest that you've answered a question that you posed quite early on in this telephone call about can you find a way to be with your parents without getting rid of your parents? And that you've suggested there that I can create the world and environment that I want, and that may or may not include my parents.
But it only says right. Then in that regard to honor your parents. Didn't say any more than that.
Right.
Didn't say love them, didn't say do anything, don't put up with, doesn't say put up with them. Honor them as your parents, but you don't have to give your life over to your parents' loner body, self, and environment, do you?
Not at all.
But we do. We think it's important to bond to our family. When we bond to our family, you bonded to your loner self in life. And for the next 50, 60, 70 years, you're wondering what the hell is going on. No matter what happens, it seems like, well, shit, that ain't me.
I had a sideways question here. If it diverts us too far, just shut me down.
Well,
is it possible is it possible that universal beings have been embodying for a very, very long time, and in a sense, refining the bodies that they ultimately take up residence in? And what spurs that kind of thought is that this attachment to family and then by extension attraction and entanglement with the tribe and later the village, that was kind of essential for survival. You were with them or you didn't survive very long. So have we slowly but surely have we been shifting as human beings, as the body selves, to accommodate eternal beings or universal beings?
Well, you've asked several questions, and I might take this in another direction, but yeah, it was necessary for survival, but that at a certain point. Like I said, my responsibility is to raise my kids until they're 18. Okay, so let's assume that. Then at 18, could you not then change your body and self and life to suit you, not as a bonding with family in order for survival? That was the nature of life at that time, but is not that life today.
Right.
Is that okay?
No, it's not.
So, at any time, you could have, this is the advantage of you as human being. A tree gives an apple tree only produces an apple tree, and a sparrow only produces a sparrow. But you can, the universe can produce a body that is of like ilk, but you have the ability to change the body itself as you desire. That's the uniqueness of you. Is that okay?
Yes, it is.
Now, let me put this into an illustration. Now, don't go astray with this, but allow this to be just an illustration. From what you said, could we then say, is it possible that you are an alien that have come to Earth and is living in a body that is not you?
I felt all my life. I told you that last week.
Is that okay? I don't want to accuse you of being an alien in that regard, but in fact, isn't there a big feeling about that? You don't belong here. This ain't you. This ain't your place. This isn't your body. This isn't your life. Then my question to you, is it possible then, following Patrick's statement, that you are in fact an alien in this life? Can we say then that as an alien you didn't come from Osiris, you're a universal alien? So we don't get into this woo-woo stuff of aliens taking over necessarily. But can you not make that association and say, hey, as an alien in that regard, I can just feel myself as an alien called eternal being living in this confined body?
I feel. So I guess this universal me was too vague. When you give that concept, that makes it clear because I have an image of it.
Everybody feels that way, but nobody wants to then talk about it in terms of alien. We'll call it alien, but it is You are a universal being, being particular at this time, in this way, in this manner. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very much so.
Well, okay. And we're not really in this, we're not carrying a discussion of you're a spiritual being, and we're not carrying this into you're an alien, come to Earth.
Right.
But we are willing to say, can you feel and be as a universal being that is in this lifetime trying to be particular? Look at it. Put yourself in a position of, okay, I'm an alien.
Yeah.
And I've given up I've given up my great awareness just to be some goddamn particular.
I, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So whatever it takes to get you out of your looking at yourself from a quote, lesser position, unquote, of being particular, to get you into living yourself as a universal being, could that not be the black matter? Could that not be 101 different ways we want to pursue it, that you are the universal being, and you would say, well, okay, I'm universal, but what the hell am I? And you wanted to be something particular, and here you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this okay, Patrick?
I get that. Yeah. There's a cynic and a sarcastic in me that's so strong sometimes.
Not you. Is that like Roger being sweet?
I'm not being sarcastic.
Really?
You just don't know. You just don't know universal being me. I have a tough time holding my sweetness back.
Yeah, the particularization sort of makes it rough on me to see that.
Okay, Patrick, take it where you want to go.
Yeah, you're doing great, Pat.
No, I have to. This universal being embodied to be particular, and I'm waiting for the white light to come bursting down from the sky and all that bullshit that used to be around. Wowie. Anyway, then, Roger. You used language here a few minutes ago that said that I'm just this alien universal being that gave up its universality or its awareness of all things in order to be particular. But we were talking a while ago that it must be possible to be particular without giving that up.
Okay. Could it be then that that is the struggle in life? Is it possible from either the particular side or the universal side, is it possible for that you could be both simultaneously universal and particular without surrendering either?
Yes. Yep, yep.
Then the question, if that's true, is there anything greater or other than that that you would choose to be?
Oh.
Would you choose to be eternal without particular, or would you choose to be particular without eternal, or would you choose, or universal, excuse me, universal without being particular, or would you choose universal, particular without being universal? Language does that to you. Choose one or the other. Is it possible that you can be both?
Right.
Okay. Yes.
why I was stuck. I didn't know.
Then might it then be that, if we want to call it a purpose of the universe today, or the purpose of you today, is to learn how to do and be both without separating those out, and it doesn't mean to bring them into a oneness, it means to keep them in a communion so that you can be particular when you want and universal when you want, or combine the two.
Right.
Hey, that makes sense.
My next question is there anything greater than that than you would choose to be?
That encompasses anything and everything I could ever conceive.
Yeah, I think that gives me all the desires that I can think of at the moment.
Well, if it does give you all the desires, how about continuing? It didn't say anything about that.
Continuing ends up being kind of a non-issue under that.
Why is it a non-issue? It doesn't do you any good to say it's a non-issue. You got to tell me why.
The in being universal, there is no beginning and there is no end, and that there's no beginning when I came alive as Patrick. There will be no end when I die as Patrick.
You can't do that. You can't just give me that crap. You're just giving me conclusions. I want to know how you do that.
That when I live with a universal focus, then the universe will react and feed back to me a universal existence.
But you haven't told me anything. What is that universal existence?
I think I've run out of things to say at the moment.
You'll just be something else.
What's that?
You'll just be something else.
Oh, that's it. Right.
It doesn't say you're this or that or nothing. You'll just be something else.
Right.
So continuing
it.
What?
That is so simple, I never hold that.
Of course.
I didn't think of that either.
All of this is so goddamn simple.
Yeah, well, I think because I was always trying to consider how to continue my loner body.
That's right, of course you were. But you didn't like that in the first place, so why would you want to continue it? Be something else.
Well, Raj, to tell you the truth, it was the only self I thought I had.
So. That's right. But wait a minute, let me ask you another question. If it is not a matter of continuing but being something else, is it possible then that you could decide right now who you'll be next?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you don't decide who you will be next, you'll be just the same old person over and over and over again.
Right.
Okay.
And if you think your past lives were you, well, here's a question, Patrick, for you. Were you samurai, or were your parents samurai?
My parents were samurai, and I called that up.
And you've been living and struggling against that samurai-ness, which wasn't you and isn't you now, but it blocks you from knowing yourself because you think, well, I got to get rid of the samurai before I can figure out who the hell I am. It wasn't you in the first place.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
But it describes who you are living today. It ain't who you are.
Right.
And if that ain't who you are, then you don't have to live it.
Right.
Absolutely.
And if you want to live something different or other than you're living today, why not just decide who you would like to live and live that now?
So the struggle that so many of us experience with health things, body breaking down this way and that way, is that the conflict between the body self living a certain way and what universal self would want to be living?
Absolutely. So we then can say, if we read the description of health, that portrays very particularly the struggle between you as a living as a loner body and self, as opposed to living the eternal self that you are. The universal self, excuse me. Is this okay?
That's just wonderful.
Wait a minute!
Yeah.
Wait a minute! If you've got this big struggle going on, holy mackerel, if that self is really of your parents, think of what struggle they must be going through.
My parents?
Yes.
They're gone.
No, I'm what they went through then.
Damn, oh yeah.
Because they were
They
were samurai, they were doing these things, and they were living an eternal a loner body and self of this ilk as well. Could you have grief or sorrow for your parents that's what they were living rather than who they really are?
Yeah, I can see
what that.
So, if you're going to have sorrow and grief for your parents and etc. in this regard, then it's only because they are living a loner body of the same sort of ilk that you're struggling with.
Yep. And I can watch my kids doing the same thing.
Of course. And if you want to show them to their fineness, you would lead them away from who they are as a loner self and body to who they really are actually.
Yeah.
So the fineness of yourself has nothing to know the true nature of your loner self. That isn't going to solve anything. You're an alien. You're a universal alien. Be proud of that and live that. I was watching Aliens on TV today that brought that up. But can you not use the alien image to understand the struggle you could be going on?
Yeah. Very much so.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Could we use the alien things as that you promised to do certain things to your alien brothers before you came into this lifetime as then understanding the promises that you've neglected? Oh, yeah, I'll go down there and I'll do all these things. Yeah, wonderful, sure, yeah. And then you got down there and you got trapped in all this crap. Well, could we then say then, wait just a minute now, just for the fun of the games while we're going here, that a review of your life is really, when you go back, you've got to give a report of your to your alien brothers of your life. Well, what are they going to say about you? Well, okay, you want to wrap it up there, Patrick?
I think so. think that, for me, I'm done.
You're wrapped up? So we could say then that, if we look at this, that all of your struggles in life are actually reflect a struggle in the fact that you have a sense that you are a universal being, and yet you are limited to being and living a loner self. Nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to give up being particular.
But you don't want to give up being universal at the same time. And it's like saying, okay, but you know, I got to make a living. So then we do all of these particular things and give away our universal self. But as Sally said, you, and as Patrick inferred, you as a universal being can be universal in a particular way. And no matter what you do, it is the way you pay Caesar, it's not what you do to pay Caesar.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we spent the time tonight. This was not repeat. I mean, it was, but it was better. Good. Helpful.
What? Well, whatever it was, good night for now.